everyone, and welcome to the call today. It is the fourth month, April 11th, 2012. This is Kurt Mortensen, and this is the time where we spend talking about some of your persuasion and influence challenges, things you can run into. It's interactive, so either email me your question or let me know right over the phone. That's what we're here to spend a little time talking about, a few persuasion tools and ways that you can adjust those and apply those this week and help take things to the next level. So whether it's self-persuasion, influence, negotiation, the bottom line here is the keys to maximize their influence. That is our goal. That is what we want for you. Now, some questions on how do you deal with someone that gives you that blank stare? How do you know when it's time to shut up and ask for their business? And the first thing is your goal as a great persuader is to be able to read body language. You're so concerned about what to say next, to vomit the next feature, that you're not reading them. One of the biggest, I don't know if you call it blunder, but things we're not doing right is that we can't read the body language, especially the body language of indifference or even rejection. Those are critical for you to be able to understand how you need to adjust your presentation. So let's talk a little about that first, and we'll talk about what to do. When someone's rejecting you, they're done. They're being polite. They keep listening. They're going to give you very short answers. You'll notice in their eyes tend to be very cold and drifting, and their arms will be folded a lot of times. Sometimes you'll see their hands clenched. They're standing back from you. One thing you'll notice, too, if you're standing next to them, their shoulders will not be aligned with yours. They'll be angled, or their feet will not be pointed towards you. They'll be angled, too. You might see that their lips tight. They're getting a little tense. They're being nice, but they are ready to leave. You need to know when people are rejecting you, you need to either retreat or ask the right question. Get them back in the game. We'll talk about those questions here in a second. Now, I'd rather have rejection because at least they've thought about it than indifference. Indifference is brutal. They just don't care. Their arms might be folded behind their neck. They could be tapping on the desk. You'll see an increase in squirming. And the big one that you'll notice, the biggest indicator, at least for me, what I notice is that they look older. Their facial muscles will hang more. They'll look a little older. They'll look different because they've tuned out. There is no facial expressions. There is no smile. There's no gleam in their eye or anything like that. They are indifferent, and you've lost them. Now, on the flip side, you also have to realize, okay, how do you know when they're interested or how do you know when they're confused? Because a lot of these, too, you can make these expressions with your face to kind of get a feel for how they would look when people are confused. Remember, a confused mind says, no, you keep going. But they're stuck on their question and their objection. Their mouth will tighten, kind of pucker a little bit. You'll see the puzzled look. Their eyes will squint. That is confusion. I mean, really learning to read people is so important. Versus when somebody's interested, they're going to lean forward. They're going to ask the questions that, say, well, what about this? How's the guarantee? Can I get it shipped in 2 weeks? Can I get started today? Their eyes will sparkle. Their head will nod up and down a little bit, proving glances between spouses. Their voice sounds interested. The responses are easier and longer. Those are the type of things that you're looking for to get them interested. But let's talk about, you know, the interest is a good one, but let's talk about some of these negative ones. So when people are confused, what do we do when they're indifferent or they're rejecting you? Those are what we need to talk about. Now, the first one is confusion. You have said something that they're afraid to ask a question about. You've confused them. They're stuck on something. You need to back up and find out exactly what it is and apologize for it, because you've got to check your ego in the door and say, you know, apologize. I should have clarified that. I should have explained it better. Even if you did, even if it was perfect, doesn't matter. You need to keep that door open for questions and comments and concerns. And get them to find out and let them know, you know, a lot of people get stuck there. It's okay. Let me go back and we talk about that. That's what we do with confusion. Now, if they're rejecting you or there's indifference, we got to back up and realize there's a couple things that you forgot. First of all, you forgot the famous, what's the known as the WIIFM. You know, what's in it for me? Why should I care? You haven't given it to them, especially those who are indifferent. They have no reason to care, or you've given them a reason not to care. That's why I always make fun of vomiting. When you give somebody 20 reasons to do something, they're going to find one of those. They're going to take one of those reasons and, in their mind, create a reason not to do it. So you need to really learn to figure out, okay, what's in it for them, and ask the right questions, and not vomit a list of features. That hurts a lot of people. I do a lot of secret shopping, and I was going into a Cadillac dealership, and the guy just started vomiting all the features. See, what happens is we tend to do that because every once in a while one will stick. Someone will assign a benefit to it. Feature, I mean, if you write down feature versus benefit, you just write which means between the two. Feature, which means here's the benefit. So when I tell someone there's a 400-horsepower car, some people can assign a benefit to that, power, speed. Some people really don't know what that means. So every once in a while it works. That's why people do it. And when the person, Cal, says, you know, you can start the car from 100 feet away. I'm like, you know, who cares? You know, what does that mean? You can talk, could be about the cooling it down in the summer, warming up in the winter. Hit another button, the tailgate lifts up by itself. You know, who cares? Well, the benefit could be groceries and convenience. Heated seats, who cares? What does that mean? Now, I'm the type of person, well, I'll never use heated seats, but maybe for my spouse. In fact, all you had to tell me is that it's great for practical jokes. You know, turn the heated seat on the passenger in the summertime, it's fun to watch them squirm. And that is a lot of fun, actually. That could be a benefit. And then he starts touting the 150 satellite channels, on, and that makes it worse for me. That actually caused me not to want to buy, because I'm a personal development junkie. I'm not going to listen to the radio. I'm going to listen to educational CDs. That's who I am. Does that matter how most people are? He's assuming who they are. He didn't ask me, what is the main reason he was showing me an Escalade? Do you want this? No, I don't even care for cars that much. I'm a boating guy. He would have found out, and all he had to say is, well, this car, you can't even tell you're pulling a boat. It has a camera so you can back up with somebody helping you. He didn't tell me those things. So your goal is to be able to find out their what's in it for me. Now, here's the difference between you calling somebody or somebody calling you. When somebody calls you, whether it be out of the blue or based on your marketing or referral from a friend, they already have a reason. And your job as a persuader is to find out what that reason is. When you call them, you need to be able to create a reason. Let me say that again. They call you, you find the reason. You call them, get that right. You see, they call you, you find the reason. You call them, you have to create a compelling reason. You know, if I could show you three ways to double your income in 3 months, would be creating a reason. If there was a way to work at home and make more money, would you be interested? Would it be great to spend more time with your children and be healthier, sleep better? Oh, let me ask you a question. Are you ready for financial independence? What are the two major mistakes people make on their way to financial independence? Those are intriguing questions that are grabbing people's attention. That's what you need to go right off the shoot. You need to be able to grab their attention and especially, again, when you are calling them. One of my favorite stories goes back to the military induction center, and this guy's name was Airman Jones, and he would spend all day with these new 18-year-olds, these new recruits, and his job was to sell them GI life insurance. That was his job. Now, I don't know how much you know about 18-year-olds. We can talk about brain and brain development, but 18-year-olds are frontal lobes not developed. They're still invincible. Why would they spend their money on this life insurance instead of booze or whatever it is they like? But Airman Jones had 100% close rate. Everybody bought this life insurance. Everyone else had 10%. He had 100%. And they're like, whoa, whoa, what's going on? So Superior just sat in the back just to listen, to figure out what's going on. And so Airman Jones was talking. He says, okay, there's now we'll talk about the GI life insurance. Here's how it works. If something happens in battle or, you know, around base, and you're killed, your benefactors get $6,000. Now, if you have this insurance and something happens, in battle, you get $200,000. Okay, that's just a feature. There's no benefit there. And then he said, follow me on this, he said, who do you think they're going to send to battle first? Okay, think about it. Now, I'm not going to go to the ethics or morals of that, but he created a compelling reason for them to listen, for them to do it. He had their attention because basically their lives were on the line. You know, if I could show you how. And this is all done by questions. Remember, great persuaders ask three times more questions. They're consultants. They listen. Always answer a question with a question. And by doing that, then you can formulate questions that really grab their attention. If you need to want to know they want to spend more time at home, or they're concerned about their finances, or concerned to get fired from their job, or they're not having a lot of energy, or they're sleeping more than they want to, that's all important information to formulate your questions. I could show you three ways to. If there was a way to solve that problem, what would that look like? Be able to grab their attention. One of my favorites is if you say something like, well, what does the perfect solution look like to you? Or if there were a perfect solution, what would it be? That's good in negotiation. That's good in persuasion. If you're talking about maybe a home-based business or even real estate, no matter what it is, technical-based business. Well, tell me, what does the perfect home-based business look like to you? Oh, really? Why is that? Wow, tell me more. That's exactly what you're looking for? Oh, hello, here you go. It can be that simple. What does a perfect home-based business look like to you? If it's real estate, what does the perfect home look like to you? For the negotiation, tell me, what does the perfect solution look like to you? What is the main thing you're looking to get? And it literally can be that easy sometimes. When you have that connection and they trust you, it becomes very easy. Remember, you're the consultant. Or maybe you want to say, if you hit a brick wall or something, well, tell me, what would completely solve your challenge? And listen. Or one, when I'm really hitting a brick wall, I'll say, okay, well, wait a minute, time out. I'm trying to help you out here. And then I'd say, you know, let's say a genie appeared and made everything exactly like you wanted. What would that look like to you? And listen. And ask more questions. Can you describe the type of feature you're looking for? Can you describe the type of business you're looking for? Can you describe the type of home you're looking for? Well, wait a minute. If price were no object, tell me what would it look like? What would it be? Or what investment best fits your budget? Well, we're going to talk about price a little bit probably next week, because price is a non-issue unless you make it an issue. When you've built the value, price is more of a knee-jerk reaction than trying to get rid of you. They're lying to you than anything else, and that's going to be another call. We'll talk about that. The main thing I want you to think about is, okay, what is that? What's it for them? How can you grab their attention? Because you don't have a lot of time. Because a lot of people get stuck in the gussy chit-chat over the phone in their office, and that's a big complaint. Because remember, I get to interview people after they've lied to you. The gussy chit-chat before they know the main reason you're there or on the phone is a big complaint. The going to somebody's office or home and looking around for something to talk about. In the business world, you know, hey, you're a golfer. Oh, do you fish? Hey, that's your family. They're taking those things home. Oh, that's a nice trophy because they're tired of talking about it. And talk about a red flag. You're there to try to sell them something. It no longer works. It's lost its effectiveness. We're so busy that, you know, people skills are important. Connecting is important. But until there's a reason for them to know that you need to connect with them or talk to you, then you get a lot more resistance. And that's why you're thinking, okay, what's in it for them? Why should they care? What are the three main benefits of my product? Learning to read their body language. Are they indifferent? Are they confused? Are they rejecting you and adjusting? So, I mean, if they're indifferent or rejecting you, you need to have a question in your pocket. Okay, what is the perfect solution like to you? And if they just, and it might be time to cut your losses. If they aren't still giving the short answers or if they're indifferent, maybe it's time to move on. They might not be salvageable. But if you see that rejection or indifferent, it is now time to ask a question and delve a little deeper and find out exactly how you can adjust your presentation to them. That's what you want, understanding their needs and their wants. We talked a little bit about that last week. Their needs, is it financial, is it intellectual, is it spiritual, is it physical, is it emotional, is it social? Knowing, because your product probably fits couple of those areas. And you find out, okay, what's pressuring them the most? Because as a persuader, you're helping them move from where they are to where they want to go, from what they don't want now to what they want. You're giving them a solution to their problem. You have to generate a reason, an interest, a need, a want for them to do that. So let me just recap, real important, that when they call you, your job as a persuader is to find out what is the main reason. What are they looking for? It's not time to vomit. You call them, you need to quickly, in the first 30 seconds, create a compelling reason for them to listen to you. In the business world, it's usually making money or saving money. That's what it comes down to. Even, you know, talking to somebody in their home or home-based business, they're probably more concerned about making money or concerned about the economy or layoffs or things that are happening, and your job is to provide the solution. So you need to think that through, and that's what I want you to do this week is write down some questions to grab their attention, to grab their interest. Create some questions, too, when you hit a brick wall or they're looking in different things that you can ask them that will be helpful, and that will go a long way. Okay, so that's what I want you to focus on as persuaders, to be able to do that. Now, just to recap, we will be posting the recording at ywhypersuasion.com. That's another place to send your questions. I'm here to answer those and to help you out. Are there any questions out there via the net or over the phone? I will take those down. It could be what we talked about today or things that you're running into. Good question about repeating those six areas. Now, that was a recording from last week if you want to listen to that. But those six areas, does your product fulfill a financial need? Does it help them make money, save money? An intellectual need, is that like more of a personal development type product? Spiritual need, giving back, feeling better, higher cause. Physical, help them feel better, nutritional, exercise. Is it fulfill some type of emotional need? Does it fulfill some type of social need? I mean, some products you actually fulfill all six. There's probably a couple of those. Another question on feature versus benefit. What I mentioned earlier is if you write down the word feature and then benefit, in the middle write down the word which means. So if you look at your product or service, I'd write down, in fact I'd do that this week, maybe the five of the main features and then write which means benefit. Like we talked about Cadillacs today, which means. You know, what was the other thing they mentioned? They have a little camera so you don't have to turn around. So to an average person, like, well, it's not hard to turn around. I don't need to spend an extra $1,000 for a camera. Well, the feature is the camera, which means not running over any children, which means backing up to a trailer or boat without anybody helping you, which means getting deeper and deeper into the benefit. Will really help you out. Someone asked me a question about the genie. To repeat the question about the genie. Basically, it was if a genie appeared and made everything look perfect or solved your challenge, what would that look like to you? What is the perfect solution, the perfect home, the perfect business look like to you? Because sometimes they're not even quite sure what that perfect house, perfect business is, but as they start talking and you start whittling it down, you can get to that criteria, and that can be very beneficial to you. Very beneficial to you. Any other questions? I will take those. We talked about reading body language. Can you ask questions either over the phone or via the net? Someone asked me about body language and lying. Detecting deception is an interesting art. In fact, if you have the Perfect Persuasion series, there's a whole CD on detecting deception. We spend quite a bit of time in the negotiation, not to help you become better liars, but to realize that people will lie to you. You know, that's probably a whole call. But a couple things just to understand real quick. With lying and deception, and we'll talk a little about that next week, is that the number is that 67% of the time when you hear it's too expensive, I can't afford it, talk to spouse, more information, that is a lie. So how do we know? Well, the first thing is just to learn to read people, and not be so concerned what to say next. But the thing with lying is you need to look for what's called clusters, meaning just because they touched their face doesn't mean they're lying. But that could be your first clue. But when you start seeing 2, 3, 4 clues, those are clusters or micro expressions that you see, quick expressions. Most people actually aren't very good at covering up their lies, but we're even worse at even attempting to read the person. So touching your face, because what happens is emotions crease up, more blood goes to the face, your nose becomes a little itchy, they might be touching their nose, their ears. It might be something, they might have allergies, so we're looking for clusters. They kind of shift back in their chair. They try to either take up less space or kind of crouch a little more in their chair, like they might stick their feet underneath their chair would be one. Any type when they touch their face would be one. You'll see increased blinking, more maybe redness to the face. Can you look for 2 or 3 different things with the deception? You know, simplifying a longer class we should be taking, but those are some of the things you can do. And sometimes you get good enough, you just sense that they're lying. And you're not going to call them a liar, obviously, but you're looking for different things in their face and their mannerisms. Another two things you'll notice, too, is their eyes. We go, well, if they turn away, they're lying. And they know that. They've heard it, too. So you'll see a change in eye contact, because when you first meet them, you're talking about the weather or whatever it is, and you're looking at, if they can't look at you then, they're not going to look at you during the persuasion process. So you'll either see forced eye contact, they're staring you down a little bit, it's a little uneasy, or you'll see less eye contact. You'll see a difference in eye contact, number one. Number two, in their body, their movements will almost become a little more robotic, because before they weren't thinking about their movements, now they're like, oh, I'm lying. And their movements become a little more forced, a little more robotic. So in a quick nutshell, that's how I would explain deception and lying. Good, good question. Any other questions out there? One on building value and pricing. Yeah, that's why I'm going to hit that one next week, because I can't give that justice in 30 minutes. As far as value and pricing, we'll talk about that. But remember, just learn to read people. Let me know again if you have any questions. Interrupt me over the phone or send it to me. Just looking at you, are they rejecting you? Are they indifferent? Are they confused? Those are the type of things you're looking at. You become a great listener. Learn to listen with your ears, your eyes, and your heart, and that will really help you out on your road to becoming a great persuader. With that, are there any questions about what we talked about last week, this week, or things that you're running into? More than happy to help you out. All right, good stuff. All right, so we'll be here again next week, but recording's posted at ywhypersuasion.com. You can even send me your questions ahead of time if you want, or things that you need information on, you can send them to me there. Everyone have a great week. Keep focused, learn to visualize your success, learn to really adapt to people. And every time you persuade someone, or a persuasion process, even if you didn't persuade them, you ask yourself, okay, what did I do well, and what can I do better? That is your goal, improving a little bit every week. And so by the end of the year, you'll have more tools, and you will be a power persuader. So have an awesome week, and we'll talk to you next week. Good night, everyone.